You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
How big is his hole? And do...
That is not in the public interest, I can assure you.
The Wire.
Now it's time to hear from the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
While the election is still over 4 months away, parties are already deploying what has become an election period staple, the budget hole. The idea that a party vying for government may have bungled the numbers is quite the attack. But without every Kiwi trying to break the numbers themselves, we often have to take at least someone at their word. The Green Party is among a number of voices proposing a fix to this, a parliamentary budget office that would vet costs of party policies and be able to answer that age-old question, how big is their hole? And ahead of the release of their own tax policy, the Greens have highlighted that the richest 150 New Zealand individuals and family dynasties now own as much as half of the country between them. These numbers from the National Business Review show that this small group of Kiwis grew their collective wealth from $102 billion to $129 billion just last year. That's a 26% increase in 1 year. As the current government gives tax breaks to landlords and cuts to social services, the Green Party says they would be looking at this growth instead. But how do they propose we claw that wealth back? For our weekly catch-up with the Green Party, I spoke with MP Ricardo Menendez March about their call for a parliamentary budget office, the growing wealth disparity, and workers' rights. Morena, Ricardo, how's it going?
Morena, thanks for having me. I'm good, thank you.
I want to start our conversation today with the Greens' call for a parliamentary budget office. There are often claims during election time of budget holes and different budgeting things, and also of the difficulty it is for opposition parties to even present a budget without knowing or without having the support that the government gets. So is this the motivation behind the budgetary office, or are there other things going on here?
No, this is a pretty straightforward proposal. We've actually held this position for quite some terms now, and it does come from the fact that we believe New Zealanders should have access to all the information they need to make up their minds on which political parties to support. And one of the challenges that exists is that unless you have access to the public service to do the maths for you, opposition political parties often don't have access to the resources to be able to cost their proposals and their policies, leaving voters, with headlines and accusations from opponents, basically on claims of fiscal holes or people not having done the adequate maths. And so this would actually even the playing field, but it would put more scrutiny on political parties to actually run their numbers through and make sure that they're transparent about what their proposals entail and who is affecting those various proposals and what are the fiscal ramifications of them. So we hope that Labour and National can get behind.
It doesn't seem particularly ideological in the call as well, in a sense. It doesn't seem like it's just coming from one side. It would make sense for other parties to support it. Is there any reason why this hasn't happened yet?
I think it's a common sense proposal. It feels like it's political inertia from the legacy parties. And, I mean, we've even had Finance Minister Nicola Willis supporting such proposals before, but I think it's inertia, and it baffles me that neither Labour or National want to commit to it, because ultimately this would be a really good opportunity to stop the accusations from each side over fiscal holes and or gaps in policy proposals. But you know, every political party may find themselves in a position at one point in their political life, and having access to a parliamentary budget office, like I said, would give voters more information over parties' proposals. So, like, it's a pretty straightforward, simple solution, and having a parliamentary budget office shouldn't cost much, but it would really enrich the political debate and access to information for voters as well on proposals.
I want to move on now to our next topic. In the lead up to what I understand to be the Green Party's launch of their tax policy, I've noticed through your press releases, there's been an emphasis and highlighting on the growth of wealth of New Zealand's rich listers, of the 150 richest people in the country. And I'd like to delve into this with you. What is alarming for the Green Party in these numbers?
Yeah, look, wealth inequality in this country is skyrocketing, and this really does show that whenever the government tells us that there's no money to go around, what they're not really telling us is that actually there is money. It's just being hoarded by a handful of families. And the latest report shows that about 150 New Zealand individuals and dynasties now basically own between them as much as half the country. And so while people are struggling to make ends meet, while homelessness increases, we've seen the super rich actually increase their wealth by around over 25% just in 1 year. And this amounts to $129 billion now. And what this tells us is that if we fix the tax system, if we actually tax the wealthy few adequately, we would be able to fund access to better healthcare, more housing, better quality jobs, and the things that people need to do well.
In the current electoral cycle, there's been talks about the National Party gearing up to campaign on the sale of some New Zealand assets, such as potentially looking at KiwiBank, although I don't think they've confirmed that yet. When the New Zealand government is talking about selling off the assets that they do own on behalf of the whole New Zealand public, but they're not looking at where a lot of this wealth is going, I feel like we've seen a lot of this before. How do those things sort of combine?
Well, it just tells us that this government is thinking in the short term, and selling assets has never resulted in actual long-term better outcomes for people or lower bills for that matter. And so what this tells us is that right now we've got a government that is quite happy to see wealth inequality increase while selling our very own assets that allow us to have good lives to those very same people that are making a huge buck while everybody else is being told to tighten up and save more money. And this tells us once again that what we're dealing with is a rigged system where if you're a wealthy few, you can pour hundreds of thousands of dollars into the political parties that back billionaires remaining super rich while everyday people struggle to make ends meet. And once again, what this tells us is that we've got an opportunity, though, to fix the tax system, to adequately tax the wealthy few and make sure that we can actually fund the very same public services like healthcare, public housing, and create good jobs so that people can have good lives. And this also tells us, you know, that people are being currently taxed too much for their work, but that if you're a billionaire and you're hiding your assets, through property and et cetera, you can just continue to get richer despite those very same assets not necessarily producing anything for everyday people.
Not to jump the gun on what the Greens are going to propose, but would you be interested in just now we can do a quick run through of different potential taxes and you can tell me what's right or what's wrong with them and whether or not they will address this problem?
So, well, look, if you look at our previous policy proposals, you will know that we've long campaigned to ensure that the assets of the wealthy few are adequately taxed. And when we say wealthy few, we mean, you know, the multi-millionaires. And one of the other things that we've long held as a proposal is to rebalance the income tax system. If you look at Australia, for example, we do have a tax-free bracket for the first few thousand dollars that you earn. And we think that this is something that should be looked at. And ultimately, you know, we've long held the position that we need to actually tax work less and tax wealth more. And so just a few days to go before you find out exactly what we're proposing.
A party like the top party has long campaigned on a land value tax. What is the Green Party's position on this? Why was this not something that the Green Party would be interested in taking up?
Yeah, look, you'll get to hear more about exactly what we'll propose
over
the weekend.
But
what I will say is that if voters want a government that is actually committed to taxing the wealthy few and to change the government, the Opportunity Party cannot be trusted because there is no way that they'll get those taxes across by siding with the National Party, which is something that the Opportunity Party has long played with. And so this is why we'll be making it clear to voters that our mission is not just to change the government, but to bring about a government of change. And I just cannot see how we could actually tax the wealthy few and have a fair tax system by making up a government with a national party. And I just don't see that as a possibility when they've shown us time and time again that they're quite interested in growing wealth inequality and allowing the rich to get richer at the expense of everybody else.
There's been an element to the capital gains tax as well that, whilst useful in beginning to tax a lot of these things, might not cover this huge growth in wealth of these 150 richest people.
Well, that's right. And the issue with a capital gains tax is also the time that it takes to adequately bring revenue to in order to fund the services that we need. We've long proposed an overhaul of the tax system so that, A, we address the growing wealth inequality and the fact that we've got billionaires that are hoarding the resources, stopping people from actually having what they need to do well. And a capital gains tax just does not go far enough into addressing the reality that we do not have a cost of living crisis. We have a cost of greed crisis, where the wealthy few are being allowed to hoard all the resources and their wealth and stopping people from actually having what they need to do, okay? And we've seen how that is starting to destroy the fabric of societies, like in the United States, where there's people who are literally dying because they cannot have access to life-saving medication, while the United States is effectively richer than it's ever been, and its citizens are literally struggling to access basic health care. And so this tells us that the system is working in the favor of the wealthy few, not everyday citizens.
The Green Party put out a press release on their website about the New Zealand government supporting US policy in the international stage against other Western nations. And this was about the support for gig workers. Could you help explain this to our listeners a little bit?
Yeah, look, I'm sure many listeners have had to use Uber services every now and then, right? And what people may not know is that right now, companies like Uber do not treat drivers particularly well. This has been well documented in court cases, and most of the profits get taken offshore. There's been court cases that were successful that basically would have ensured that Uber drivers get better protections, and the government legislated against that. And now they have sided with the United States and mega corporates to stop gig workers, for example, Uber drivers, from having better rights. And this is embarrassing because a lot of nations are realizing that their citizens do not win when we've got mega corporates ripping us off, taking their profits offshore and treating workers absolutely poorly. And this has been well documented. Uber drivers often face precarious conditions, and I think we can do better. And so this just shows that we are choosing to take on the side of the United States when it comes to issues around workers' rights. And unfortunately, the United States is siding with the mega corporates that are getting richer while those very same workers struggle to make ends meet. It could be different. And I think we just need to change the government in order to start taking positions that are actually on the side of workers and not mega corporates.
All right. Well, let's wrap things up here then. Thank you very, very much for joining me this morning, Ricardo.
Appreciate it, Manuel. Thank you.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March discussing the Greens' call for a parliamentary budget office, the growing wealth disparity and how to tax it, and the rights of gig workers. Please let us know your thoughts on any of these interviews today. So text in on 5395 or call us on 309 3879.
That was the Green Party's Ricardo Menendez March.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.